I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This week on the Patreon exclusive episode of Guitar Nerds, we talk guitar shop stories. Some of the funniest things that customers have said to us, brought into the store, and various other hilarious anecdotes from our time working in guitar stores. We also talk about bedroom setups, and we wave goodbye to Matt Knight. If you want to hear this episode, go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. Check it out, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Jared Branton.
Hi.
Everyone's here. This is, quite a momentous occasion after a couple of weeks of things being in flux, not everyone being here.
Really?
And looking forward, there's obviously this is Matt's last show for a little while. So
what?
Nice to have you all here. So for those who don't know, Matt, you're off to Japan this week.
Thursday morning. I fly and I land Friday morning. Yeah, it's going to be weird. I think I land at 7 a.m. Japan time.
So this is the last time we're ever going to see you.
And I have to like find my way across the country. So it should be fun.
I mean, all the signs are in English. So yeah, don't worry about it.
They are in Tokyo.
Well, that's true. Yeah, when you get outside, definitely not. And you're not back till what, mid-December, something like
17th
that?
17th of December. Sunday the 17th of December is my return date.
Blimey. So how are you feeling about it? We talked about it briefly,
I have literally not thought about it. It didn't really hit me until last week when all of our Japanese colleagues left and they said, see you next week. And I went, oh yeah, hadn't really thought about it. And then I was like, oh, that's only a week. And then when I left the site today, and then I was like, I really should pack my bag. And then it sort of, I probably won't hit me until I'm sitting in the airport going, wow, I'm gonna go and live in another country for 3 months. I'm excited. I am genuinely excited. I am also very nervous, because it is like, we were just saying, you know, like Tokyo, like everything is quite touristy in one way, and there's a lot of kind of Western influence and a lot of English. But as soon as you kind of venture outside of that, there's not a lot of it. And in Hamamatsu City, I will probably be one of the only Western people in a city of 1 million, which will be very, very odd.
It's, from what I remember, is there's a little bit more kind of a businessy culture in Hamamatsu. Is that right?
Hamamatsu is the musical city,
right,
of Japan, because Yamaha are there, Roland are there, and Quahe are there, who are the other piano manufacturer. But then also Honda are there as well. So there's a lot of big manufacturers, but it is primarily known as the musical city and the number one place for gyoza in Japan.
Oh, that sounds like the dream. The best food on the planet.
They were talking
the best country on the planet.
They were asking me what sort of stuff I want to try in Japan. And I was like, well, you know, I guess a bit of everything. I'm not a massive fan of raw fish, but you know, I'll probably eat a bit more raw fish. And they were like, oh, well, you can. One guy was like, oh, I'll take you out. He's like the food he's the main food guy. And I was like, oh, great. You know, where should we go? And he went, oh, I'll take you for my favorite raw horse liver. And I was like,
oh, my God.
I was like, wow, that sounds
you've got to do it.
Horrifying.
You've got to do
that's
it.
That's quite a, yeah, that's quite a difference to the egg and chips that you get from the chippy around the corner from your house every night, isn't yeah. it?
You've got to do it, Matty. Just, I want to hear about the weirdest things that you've eaten. Obviously, you need to do natto because we've talked about it
before. I've already done that. I'm not eating that again.
Yeah,
well, no. not even for the Patreon.
Okay, fine. Have you done the salted plum? I can't remember whether you've done that or not.
No, I don't think I did eat the salted plum.
The salted fermented plum, that's always a good one.
Is it suspended in some perfume in an upturned
man's
hat?
Bowler hat. No, it is not. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that would probably actually be more flavoursome.
For those people who haven't been listening over the last few weeks, Matt's planning on doing a Patreon exclusive Japanese diary, basically.
In Japanese?
Yeah, it's in Japanese. No, Matt's experience
I'm learning
in Japan.
Japanese.
Are you actually learning any Japanese?
I am actually going to start learning Japanese, yeah.
Good.
So it's part of my big goal for next year, but also I think this 3 months should help me kickstart some Japanese as well. So,
well, basically, as part of the podcast, I want to hear every week when you or if you're going to do one every week, it might end up being once every couple of weeks or whatever. I want a rundown of the weirdest things that you've eaten every week because that is a key part, I think, of the British Fella Abroad. You need to include your food.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be there's going to be a lot of that. I think there's going to be a lot of like lonesome time because I'm not going to know that many
Pardon?
People out there.
Well, you don't need to tell us about that stuff, Matt. That's fine.
I was talking to my American counterpart and he was just like, prepare to be really alone sometimes. And I was like, oh. So that's why I hope I get to take my guitar.
Well, you've got the trusting, loyal Guitar Nerds audience to speak to. You can get
well,
a bit lonely.
I'll speak to you guys as well because... we'll be still podcasting.
We only actually talk to people in our own continent, Matt. Yeah. You'll be removed from the WhatsApp group as soon as your flight takes off.
You're gone.
By WhatsApp will automatically delete me.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I fly Thursday, land Friday. There's a party for me Friday evening and then start my working career in Japan for 3 months.
That's exciting.
The party that happened when I went to Japan, because it seems to be a thing, like obviously if you've got guests over, you know, you do a party on the first night, and that's my experience, and it sounds like that's what you're going to have, Matt. A dude threw up on the floor within about an hour, and everyone just sort of like, just went, oh, he always does that, and then just mopped him up, put him on the sofa, let him sleep for the rest of the evening, and then I never saw him again.
Oh, the Joe Branton.
It was the Joe Branton. He did actually wear a little beanie hat as well that was too small for his head.
Did he then wake up at about 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody else had gone to sleep?
I think he actually did, yeah, and then snuck out basically. Yeah.
No, not just started again.
Oh yeah, just kept going. It was good times, Matt. That all sounds like it's going to be really good. I think we're going to miss you a lot from the regular weekly pods, but I look forward to hearing the kind of tour diary, as it were.
Yeah, the Japan cast.
Yeah, I really want to hear it. So I want to know about the weirdest things you've eaten, guitar stuff that you've seen. Have you had the chance to go into any arcades? Because they're pretty cool. Just the sort of general ambiance of your life while you're out there.
Yeah, I will do that. And I'm also planning some trips to Tokyo. So definitely for some guitar shopping in Tokyo, which is definitely the best place to ever go if you want to buy a guitar, I think.
Yeah.
From my experience last year.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I don't want to bang on too much about the boss event because obviously we talked about that the last 2 weeks at least, maybe even 3 weeks. But was it a success, Matt?
It was. We had nearly 3,000 people through the door, 450 people through for workshops. We had one of the busiest gigs I've ever done on the Saturday night for This Will Destroy You, which Joe Branton also played.
That's true. You were great.
Yeah, cheers, Joe, for not coming.
Joe was very good. He still had, I think he had about 200 people.
I thought you were going to say 200 pints.
200 pints. I think he did. I mean, I had at least 200 pints on Friday night and maybe Saturday night. I technically did because we bought 200 beer tokens on Saturday night. So I technically at one point had 200 pints.
Nice.
It's not all poured at the same time.
Yeah, it was all from our end. It was all good. You know, again, we talked about this last week when you weren't here, but you know, looking around the exhibition and stuff was wicked. So
it was really good. I went to the workshops on the Saturday when Matt had Katie Tunstall over to talk about like looping and stuff.
Yep.
And Rabia did a masterclass, and that pedal show did a live show. So it was all kicking off. It was.
I'd have liked to have seen the Katie Tunstall thing because it's really interesting how. Because she kind of started it all.
Yeah,
looping.
With that one performance on...
Jules Holland.
Was it Jules Holland?
Yes.
And
yeah.
And it's so easy to forget. I mean, that was what, 10?
2004.
Yeah.
Wow, 13 years ago. And it's come so far. And did she talk about her thoughts on, you know, where it was then and what it is now?
Not so much. More sort of on how she kind of achieved that and how she went about. Because of course, it wasn't a looper that she did that.
It was an Akai head rush, wasn't it?
An Akai head rush, which is just a 16-second delay. But yeah, she spoke a bit about that, but actually sort of kept it quite sort of light on sort of the gear side of things. It was more about like songwriting and how she incorporated looping into sort of songwriting. It was cool. It was really informative. And she played a couple of songs. Played a new song off of a new record, which no one was allowed to film or record for, which was really good. So yeah, that was pretty rad. Really nice to see that pedal show live as well. That was cool to see them sort of going through, because they filmed it all there, all their camera crew there to film.
Yeah.
It gave me a lot of ideas for how, when we finally get around to doing Guitar Nerds live, on how we could do it and how good it could be, I think.
Sell out the House of Vans, basically, yeah?
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
Bigger, mate.
Bigger. Wembley Stadium.
Brought up. Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's do that. Wembley.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we all know how kind of stressed you've been, Matty, and obviously you didn't make the podcast last week because there was so much going on, so I'm really glad that it's all gone very well, basically.
Thanks very much. How many podcasts did I actually miss? It feels like it's been like a month since.
Yeah, I think it was a couple, but maybe you were on one in the middle, but then missed last week and then two more before that, but there was one in the middle. I can't actually remember, but yeah, it's good to have you back for a fleeting visit to the podcast.
Yeah, and then we just have to work out when I'll pod again.
Yes. Indeed. What's everyone else been up to? Joe Branton, apart from going to the boss stuff.
That was what I did. I went to the boss thing. It's been 1 week in between. That weekend I went to the boss thing. But Katie Tunstall left really early, leaving her entire rider, and Matt had given me backstage access.
It sort of feels like every week when we talk about what we've been up to this week, there is a booze story involved in some way.
Sunday was an absolute write-off.
Brantoxicated.
I got completely hammered with Rabia and Hammer and Hannah, his girlfriend, on Saturday night, and Sunday was a late start.
Third wheeling.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Well, you guys started having a WhatsApp chat that was going off on my phone around like midday, and that was
like a normal time for humans
just
to be up.
Put your phone on do not disturb.
Why don't you put your phone on silent?
Ask drunk me why I didn't put my phone on silent.
My phone is always on silent. Yeah, no.
Mine is always on silent
because
as well.
I just don't
I know
ever
that
want...
you might text. So
yeah, on I just don't ever want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, no. Indeed. Talking about that, so we've had a few things come up in the Facebook group, and I just kind of want to address this before we delve into the main body of the pod. About things that we've got coming up and things that we've kind of promised, things like, you know, Fun for a Ton, Mod Mode, for example, Gear of Yesteryear, Branton's Ranton Series 2, and some kind of other stuff that's happening around Patreon and YouTube and stuff. So what I like to do with this podcast is be as kind of transparent as possible. You know, we always talk about, like, things we've got coming up or things, you know, things that have kind of been happening in our personal lives and stuff like that as well. And we've talked about doing these series. You know, we talked about Mod Mode and we actually shot a YouTube video. We've talked about Fun for a Ton, quite a lot, actually, and kind of plans for it. And the thing about the podcast is it's really, really easy for us to go, we've got this great idea, right? We're doing this thing, Fun for a Ton. We get £100 each, then we've got to make it. Now, the actual reality of filming Fun for a Ton is far more complicated than you could possibly imagine, mainly because, obviously, you know, we've got limited time. Matt is doing a lot of stuff with Boss. Jay's flying all around the world with Fender. Joe is drunk most of the time. And, you know, I've obviously got a couple of kitten children that need take up a lot of my time at the moment. And what that means is that a simple idea that we shout about on the podcast and say, yeah, this is coming, don't worry about it, actually, in reality, some of these things might not happen for a little while. So I just wanted to kind of follow up on where we are with that. One of the easiest things to do, mainly because I just ply him with booze and get him a bit angry, is Branton's Rant On. So I think Series 2, we're going to try and film...
Next week. Yeah.
Or at least in the next couple of weeks, because you're going to Germany, which we can talk about in a minute.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
So... there will be Branton's Rant On Series 2 recorded in the next couple of weeks. That's going to be kind of Patreon exclusive. We'll probably drop, like we did last time, one episode in the free feed.
Yes.
And then a load of stuff. Or the
Drop the John Mayer episode in the
maybe
free.
We'll do that. That'll be one of the angriest, I think.
I tell you what, that got a lot of people talking on the Facebook group,
didn't
it?
Yeah. So then the rest of that will be in the Patreon. I really, really want to do some form, like the first series of Gear of Yesteryear before the end of the year. It's something to do while Matty's away, because he's obviously going to be doing his Japanese tour diary, which will go on Patreon, and then us three can get together and do a bit of Gear of Yesteryear. We've got some mags here that we want to look through. Doesn't necessarily need all of us. It'd be cool if you were here, Matty, but I think we should kick it off this year, and then next year we'll do even more. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about with that, so that would be cool. Obviously, in the main pod coming up, we've got loads of guest hosts. We're working on who we can sub in Matty for each week. But one of the other things that we've kind of discussed is, I think the interviews that we do that have previously been Patreon exclusive, we're going to start putting some more of those into the main feed, because some of that stuff is interesting and that content's getting kind of buried. There's still going to be a lot of Patreon exclusive stuff, but I think more the series stuff, Branton's Rant On, Gear of Yesteryear, Matt's Tour Diaries, are going to go on Patreon, and then we're going to try and work some of the interview stuff into the main feed. So just want to, again, be a bit transparent about that.
I think a lot of it just came from the fact that there was a lot of changes that happened in our personal lives.
Totally.
Over a really short period of time. You know, I started my new job, Matt's gig really ramped up really quickly, you got some cats.
Well, and I bought a house in that.
Well,
which has
been
taking up a fair amount of time.
I suppose the house thing.
I discovered how cheap medical alcohol is.
Exactly. Yeah, Joe's buying rubbing alcohol to neck every night. So things like Mod Mode and Fun for a Ton have been kind of put on the back burner a little bit. Obviously, we shot one episode of Mod Mode. I think we're going to go and kind of do that again, because we're probably not going to be able to recreate the setup that we had last time. So let's do that again. That'll probably form part of a Guitar Nerds show, which is the regular show on YouTube now, along with the list videos.
We've got some good stuff coming up on that, actually.
We have, yeah. So list videos, at the moment, we're working our way through weirdest guitars of the 70s. We've done 60s, 70s. I'm going to do 80s, 90s, 2000s. We've got some good stuff coming up on Guitar Nerd Show. What have you got? You got some stuff on weird distortion pedals.
Yeah, we're doing like the weirdest delays. It's all based on like sort of boutique. It's a series that's based on sort of oddball boutique pedal brands. And we're doing like the three weirdest delays we could find, the three most unusual drives, and I think there's the three or four, I think it's best make Goodera pedals. So yeah, it'll be cool.
Yep, cool. And one last thing,
really highlighting that search engine optimization
by
using a term that we made up.
Really working the SEO.
Thanks, man.
One other thing, I still really want to do this call-in show idea, and what's good about it is that probably a couple of us can drive it doesn't need all of us here. What it will need is some interaction from your side, dear listener, in that you will need to download some software, Discord. What I'm going to do is put together a kind of full instruction sheet for if you want to take part, this is how you do it. And I'll put that up on the Facebook group because I want to do it. I think what we'll be doing is basically hosting a like mini podcast, and occasionally we'll take callers, you know, ask a question, ask us something, chat for a couple minutes, and then we'll drop you out and bring someone else on. And it will be an experiment to begin with, but I think it could be quite cool. Like a live talk show about guitars, I think might be something that we can have some fun with. I think that would be good. So I realise that we're nearly 20 minutes into this podcast and we've not talked about any news yet, but I wanted to catch everyone up on where we're at. Obviously, there's some changes coming up with Matty being away, us coming up to Christmas, and obviously people asking about things like Mod Mode and Fun for a Ton. They are obviously still things that we want to work on, but it's not going to happen this side of Christmas now. There's more pressing issues to deal with, but still lots of content coming. Things that are perhaps not quite so video intensive. Lots of good podcast stuff and Guitar Nerd shows and the list videos still all coming to Guitar Nerds. So there we go, little catch up. Shall we dive headfirst into some
news?
Big news coming from the Victory Amplification camp this week. Matt Knight, do you want to catch us up on the Richie Kotzen signature models?
Yes, I was super excited to see this actually, because I was a big fan of the RK50 when it came out in the Cornford range, and basically now the RK50 exists in the Victory range. So Martin Kidd, the lead designer for Cornford, obviously now the lead designer for Victory Amplification, has rekindled his friendship, I suppose, with Richie Kotzen, and designed what I think is a sounds like absolutely amazing amp. And I spoke to Rabir about it briefly on Saturday, and I was like, please can you sort us out one for Guitar Nerds for demos, and he said that is something I can make happen. So hopefully in the new year we'll be able to do some video demos as well. But spec wise I think it's absolutely incredible. So you're looking at basically a 50 watt all valve head with a low gain mode of 9 watts, single volume, single tone control, single master with a foot switchable preamp boost. And then you've also got reverb, tremolo, and basically, yeah, like a mass volume. So you've basically got on foot switch, boost, reverb, and trem. And it's digital reverb in the head, spring reverb in the combo, and dual 6L, 6 valves. But you can swap those out for EL34s. So same kind of ideas that you get with all the other Victory amps as well. But it just sounds great. I mean, Rabir was saying that basically on the gain control, everything from 0 to 12 is basically like Fender Deluxe clean. And then everything from 12 o'clock onwards is like high gain Marshall Plexi, which is basically Richie Kotzen's two sounds, effectively.
Cool.
Seems like
so
a
it
big,
sounds like
a, I was going to say, it seems like a kind of big get for Victory to get Richie Kotzen on board to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, even though I'm not maybe necessarily the biggest fan of like his music, I am a fan of as him as a player, and all the products he's ever bought out have been really good. I mean, the Strat, especially the Richie Kotzen Strat, despite its kind of maybe not a look that I would go for, like a flame top on a Strat, is one of the nicest feeling Strats I think you can buy. And it's got a super chunky neck on it, and I just think that he knows when something is really good, and he obviously wants it to be kind of perfect for him. So I'm pretty confident it's going to be an amazing sounding amp as well. And they've taken the reverb and trem off the V40 Deluxe and then paired it with a slightly more high gain sort of preamp circuit. So I mean, it seems like, considering the head I think is going to be 999, sounds like a crazy amp for the money.
Yeah, they're you know, when a lot of companies have kind of moved away from those little lunchbox heads, Victory have really kind of doubled down on it, haven't they? And it doesn't look that small. You know, it's not like tiny Terra size, but it's not huge. And it seems like you're getting a lot of features for the money. And obviously, like you say, the association with Richie Kotzen kind of makes this quite an interesting package.
Yeah.
Potential. And then I was going to say potential. We need to listen to this for maybe like Gear of the Year considerations.
Oh, yeah, definitely one of the most interesting amps to come out this year.
Yeah.
Well, I asked if I could, if he would send one to Japan. I was like, can you send one to Japan? I was like, maybe. And I was like, that'd be pretty good. Because I'm quite interested to hear the tone control, because the tone control is purely just for the top end.
Okay.
So if you want to tighten up the overall sound, there's a speaker dampening switch on the back that basically curbs some sort of low end resonance. But the tone control is all about top end.
It sounds cool. It sounds like a real unique way of approaching things. Just a quick question, Matt. It's slightly off topic. When you say you want an amp delivered, where are you staying in Japan?
I have my own apartment.
Okay, cool. That's good. I thought they were going to put you up in like a little pod hotel or something, and you're just like...
No. I have my own apartment.
Nice.
So in downtown Hamamatsu, where all the action is, apparently.
Okay, good to know. Joe Branton,
yes,
one of your favorite artists in the world,
yes,
has released some brand new limited edition guitars this week. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yes.
He's died of excitement.
Yeah, this is absolutely 100% this is Gear of
Are
the
you
going
to say Gear of the Year?
This can't
gear
be Gear of the Year.
It's obviously
be,
Gear of the Year.
New colours cannot be Gear of the Year.
What are you talking about? The Gibson Les Paul 2016 won Gear of the Year in 2016.
Yeah, because it was a new guitar.
But it was a Les Paul. This is a new guitar.
No,
this
it's
is
a not.
New, yes,
it's
it is.
It's a new colours.
No, it's not a new colour. Ah, that's where you're wrong.
Ah. That's, for people listening at home, you won't have seen Joe pointing at us
and going,
when he was with his tongue out.
Like he's in the playground.
This is new because it's a different construction.
Tell
this
me what it is.
Okay, so the what I'm talking about is the new
Richie Kotzen.
Yeah, the new Music Man St. Vincent Mass Education Limited Edition Signature Guitar. So the St. Vincent guitar, which we've spoken about loads on the podcast, it's a massively important guitar and a super cool instrument. Obviously, came out 2 years ago. Then last year, Music Man released a sterling version of it to make it more affordable because, of course, it was like £2,200 when it came out. They released like an £800 sterling version. At the start of this year, they released some new colours, including the Stealth Black, which was very, very fetching. But yeah, they had like four new colours in the range, and they were great. Music Man again, so they were around the sort of £2,200-£2,500 mark. But because... St. Vincent has her new album coming out, Mass Education. They have released four new colours, but it's a different construction for the first time.
That's not what the album's called. It's called Mass Education.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it Mass Seduction?
Yeah, it's Mass Seduction. That's what it is. Mass Seduction. I was reading that thinking, that's not called Mass Education at all.
Oh, yeah, it's because I'm just reading it off of here. Ooh.
Mass Seduction.
I think I've called it Mass Education.
I think you have as well.
In the gag write-up. Oh, I better change that before it launches tomorrow.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks. Good. Thanks, guys. Anyway,
you're just thinking you've got a lot more writing to do now.
Did you base the entire write-up about going back to school or something like that?
St. Vincent's taking us back to school with our brand new Ranger signature models.
No, I was just thinking, I was like, I hope I can change like scheduled sponsored campaigns on like Facebook.
You've put loads of AdWord money blog. Into Mass Education.
I am so bad at my job.
Dear listener, Joe Branton cannot read.
No, I speed read everything because I'm always busy.
Because anyway, we're not doing speed.
Yes. Anyway. Anyway. So these four new colours, new construction. And super, super limited edition. So only three available in each colour worldwide. And Music Man have gone to the trouble of listing on their website. You can see what shops in what areas. So, so potentially there can be some that might not appear, this side of the world. Like, it is
wonder
different.
Why you're saying that, Joe Branton.
Well, let me get to it first. Okay, so the guitars that come out, they are the finishes are absolutely cracking. So we've got one available in the blue, the same blue that she had her original model made in, but now with a matching headstock. There is a neon pink.
That's the best one,
which I think is matte as well. The neon pink. It's not the best one.
Matte Knight.
There is also like a. I don't know what they call this colour because it's like a lime.
It's neon yellow. It literally says there on the page.
Does it?
It's as you've proved,
looks,
you can't read.
It looks limey. It looks limey to me. But and the best one is they've done an orange with a leopard print scratch plate.
That's probably the worst looking
control
one.
Control knobs and five-way selector in leopard print, which is incredible.
Probably the worst looking one, I reckon.
Oh, stop
which,
it.
Which one's Gat got?
Okay, so this one is the best one. It's more expensive than the others, and yes, my shop have got the only one that's not going to be in the States. This is never going to, it's never going to land because this is going to sell before, when we go live in it tomorrow, it's going to sell immediately.
Are they going to sell, is it going to sell immediately or will I be able to get a pink one? Because I am seriously inquiring about getting a pink one.
Well, we should get the pink one, but the pink one, the only one that's
is
not
in, France.
In America is in France.
There's also one in Japan and I have also made contact with the Japanese store and the French store about trying to put a deposit
down. You're unbelievable.
Yeah, I've already been contacted by a few people about the orange one. Who wants to buy it? Anyway, so the new deal is it's now the body's African mahogany, and she's moved away from the rosewood neck and board as well for the first time. Or maybe CITES related, I don't know. But now we're going for a maple neck and an ebony board.
And also the neck and headstock are lacquered in the same finish as the body now. So
it's a matching headstock, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks...
Oh, wait, is the back of the neck painted as well?
Back of the neck as well.
Yeah. Okay, right, gotcha. Yeah, so. Wow, that neon pink with the neck. The one that I find a bit weird is the blue one, because it just looks exactly the same. I mean, obviously, under the hood...
It is a slightly different colour.
Yeah, oh, is it? Okay. It's a slightly brighter blue.
It's electric blue, but it's got a matching headstock, where her normal blue is like more of a sparkle blue.
Yeah.
But anyway, these are absolutely incredible looking. They're around 2,700 quid. That's sort of the gist of the price of them. But yeah, I mean, the orange one especially is absolutely incredible.
It's annoying because if the orange one didn't have the leopard...
How can you not like the leopard print? What is because wrong
I had a leopard print strap when I was a kid, and then I was like, why did I buy that? That's such a stupid decision.
That's tainted all your leopard print purchases from now on.
But it's one of those things, it's like, I just want one of these guitars because I want the St. Vincent, and she is like one of my recent sort of like musical heroes. I'm like, this would be such a cool guitar to own. And I'm like, I'd own any of those colours. But I wouldn't own the orange one because I don't want the leopard print on it.
I absolutely love the leopard print. I think it looks incredible. But the whole range absolutely amazing.
The pink one looks amazing. Yeah. The matte neon pink is just like, that guitar is basically made for me. They might as well have called it Matt Knight neon pink.
Yeah. The orange one with the leopard print does look like something out of Changing Rooms circa 1996.
I swear you guys just aware that it's the one I've bought, so you thought you'd slag it off on the podcast. Great.
No, it looks fine. It looks fine. The pink one's the best one.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But yeah, if I can get a pink one, I can't really even afford it, so I don't even know why I'm inquiring, but I'm just like, there's some way I could just make it work.
I'm sure you can, Matty.
Sell my liver.
Sure you can.
Anyway, definitely gear of the year, 100%.
Well,
and brilliant guitar.
I'm not sure we can add that to gear of the year.
Why not? It's a new guitar.
Give it an honourable mention.
I reckon it's an honourable. Furious. Tell you what, something that you're not furious about. Dan Electro have released a brand new range of pedals.
It's not a range.
It is a
it's
range.
It's not a range.
It's a new brand.
It's a new brand.
Right, so do you want to tell us about this? You've got all the details.
So Dan Electro have announced their new company, Billionaire, or maybe Billionaire Tone. We're not sure, because the website is Billionaire Tone, because obviously they can get...
I'm pretty sure they can get billionaire.com.
Yeah, no, exactly. But they did get billionairetone.com, and the company is Billionaire by Dan Electro. So they have released a complete range of pedals, of effects that they feel best sort of summarise the name brand Billionaire.
So it's four pedals, right?
That's right, yeah. So they're doing the Pride of Texas, which is like a blues driver. The Big Spender Spinning Speaker, which is self-evident. The Billion Dollar Boost. The Filthy Rich Tremolo. And the Battery Billion.
That's the power supply.
Oh, that's just the power supply.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, cool. So that's what they're doing in the range. So and what I love most about this is I don't know what they're thinking. These are like Trump pedals.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
They've gone for like their photo for the website, their imagery for it is like a private jet with its door open.
Yes,
and then
it
you realise that's what they're trying to make the pedals look like a private jet. So they're sort of rounded and white plastic.
I'm into it.
With like different coloured control. And the best bit is the LED, which is a purple B.
Yeah, for billionaire.
I know. It's just... I can't think of anything that doesn't summarise premium more than a white plastic pedal with a purple B for an LED.
What they've gone...
Stupid thing is...
I was going to say, Matt, what they've gone for is like, you know, like that kind of... it's the Mad Men look, isn't it? It's like expensive 50s look. You know, they've gone for like Baker-like plastic style look to it. Yeah. It's tongue-in-cheek though, isn't it?
Oh, it's they're very self-aware. They're obviously, you know, they sit at home and they look at comments on the internet of people saying, oh, Dan Electro is just cheap crap. I mean, they've said, all right then.
Yeah.
Have a load of this.
I mean, all the pedals are around $80. And I especially love the write-up of the Big Spender spinning speaker, which starts with best ever spinning speaker tones and finishes with, even if you've never liked spinning speaker effects, you'll love this.
No, it ends with mesmerizing. Matt, do you think these are just the Food Series reboxed?
That's exactly what I was going to say. The tremolo is the exact same control set as the tuner melt. The spinning speaker is slight. Actually, the spinning speaker is slightly different, but I'm looking at the tremolo going, is that the same thing? And then they've also said the boost is, which one is it? Reissue of a rare 1980s hidden gem.
Which one?
I don't know. Probably one of the other Dan Electro pedals. You know, one of our ones from back in the '80s. It was a hidden gem.
Did they do pedals in the '80s?
No, I don't know what pedal they're talking about.
Well, that's why it's a hidden gem.
Yeah, totally hidden gem.
The tremolo.
Yeah, but the whole
$50.
Point is, you're like, it can still be a hidden gem. Everyone knows what it is. And, oh yeah, it's like it's a hidden gem. Well, what a hidden gem? I was like,
Have you seen about the power supply?
Yeah, so let's talk about the power supply.
The power supply...
The pedals are what they are. You know, they're clearly either based on or direct
copies,
you know, descendants of the Food
Series. The power supply is very strange. So the power supply has got 4 9-volt outputs.
I love the beveled design on the top.
You think, okay, that kind of makes sense. It's a power bank. 4 outputs, there's 4 pedals. You know, it's not particularly useful. But yeah, I understand it. Okay, cool. But there's no... So you look at it, there's no plug, there's no power in, as far as I can see.
It must be on the back somewhere.
Well, because what it actually is it's just, it's a, you put batteries in there.
Yeah.
It holds 4 9-volt batteries.
I hadn't realised that.
And then each 9, because I guess the pedals are too small to fit a battery
That's
in there.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
What the write-up here says is, DC supplies and alkaline batteries eat your tone. So they want you to run these off of batteries, but the pedals are too small to fit the batteries in. So they've made something where you can put individual batteries.
Yes.
And then power the pedals off of those independently. It's bonkers.
I hate to be a buzzkill, but there are quite a few guitarists out there, like session guys, that are using
I'm not denying that. What I think is completely bonkers is the fact that this is just, you're paying $50 for something to hold your batteries because the pedals
is that you never ever need a power supply. You never, it doesn't matter where you travel in the world, you can just have this with 4 9-volt batteries and then
you know, that makes sense on something like the Volto, where you can plug it in and charge it up. This is literally, you're just buying batteries to put into this box.
Yeah, but some people like their pedals powered off batteries rather than
9-volt. But most pedals you can put a battery in. These pedals have been poorly designed enough.
But then
to...
the problem with that is if it runs out in a gig, you can't change it quickly. I think this is really good, actually, because I actually saw a guitarist play with a similar thing, and I was like, actually... That's kind of cool. And you get less noise because you don't get any electrical interference from the plug.
And
well,
it comes with the 4 Dan Electro 9-volt vintage batteries.
Oh yeah, the classic. Yeah.
I also don't understand that. They're saying they're vintage style batteries.
They've got a wrap on them that makes them look.
They're saying that alkaline batteries eat your tone. So what batteries are they? There might be lithium ion.
No.
What are they, lead?
It's an old style 9-volt battery. I don't actually know what that
is.
The marketing is genius, and clearly someone there is brilliant. Like, yeah, look, we're taking the piss.
They're definitely using this as just a, a marketing shtick.
But I just think it's one of those things where no one cares.
But I don't know why they just didn't release it under Dan Electro. Like,
I know.
What if they
set up a new brand?
That's what's so good about it. I love it. I think it's very, very funny. I'm into it. I think we should get in touch with them. Can we get them and try them out? So dumb that it's
really
actually
like
really
to live,
funny.
Live out that billionaire lifestyle.
Yeah. And like you were saying, Matt, if the batteries ran out on my Dan Electro pedal halfway through a gig and it stopped working, I'd probably just unplug it and throw it away and just bypass it. But yeah, you know, it's cool. It's a nice, funny thing to look at. They should have done it on April Fool's Day, but it wasn't an April Fool's. That'd been good. Talking about funny things, shall we talk about the Shula Dean Dual Sonic Stereo Guitar? Not a brand that we've covered before, but something rather interesting about it.
Yeah, so this is a very, very interesting guitar. So I hadn't really heard of Shula Dean before, but it turns out that they have been a company there since like 2009, which is where he started Shula, which is the name of the geezer involved in the company.
Yeah.
Started off just by winding pickups. And then just started making guitars only a couple of years ago when he moved to Nashville. So, you know, home of rock and roll, ready to rock it. And this guitar, the Dual Sonic, he's got quite an interesting little write-up. He starts by saying, "This guitar might remind you of a classic offset body, 25.5-inch scale length, maple neck, two fat single coils, and a large vibrato on the base of the guitar."
I wonder which guitar he could be talking
completely
about.
I mean, this does, it really does just look like a Jazzmaster.
It looks gorgeous, though. I love they've got the extended upper, or extended lower
extended
horn.
Lower. Yeah. It looks kind of halfway between a Jazzmaster and an Epiphone Coronet. That company... The amp company in California who made that guitar that we really liked.
Yep. I've completely forgotten.
Satellite. Sorry,
that's
yeah.
what I meant when I said Supro.
Yes,
I like the sharp edges on it. It's really nice.
What it actually reminds me of is, did you ever see the drawing that Kurt Cobain did when he was designing
the Jagstang? Yeah,
It kind of looks like that. It's like, you can tell that it's a Jazzmaster, but there's something just a little off about it that makes it look not like a Jazzmaster.
So anyway, in terms of what actually makes it special is you've got... Mastery Bridge, which is one of the first mods that people tend to make when they buy a Jazzmaster. But the big thing about it is there's actually a lipstick pickup under the bridge.
Well, it's like behind the bridge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like in between the bridge and the tailpiece.
So, so where you can get those cool, like, schling sort of
the
noises.
What?
The schling sort of noises.
The what?
The please sample that.
Sort of noises.
Yeah, someone please do something
with
that.
I have to schling another schling bass. Okay.
Please just say it. We won't talk. Just say schling again.
No.
Do
no.
it.
Schling.
There we go. Good. Right. Do whatever you want with that. People who make remixes, that see what you can do with the schling. So what's the point of this?
To schling.
It says stereo in the description. Is there a stereo output on the guitar?
Yeah, so there's stereo output. You also it comes with an AB box, so you can fire off to 2 amps, or you can fire into 1 amp, depending on how you wanna play it. But yeah, very, very interesting, very weird looking guitar. I really do recommend having a look at it. And they all appear to be built to order.
$2,700-ish,
I think.
Do we do we know? Because it looks like there's only one output on the guitar. I assume you have to go into the AB to split the signal. Is that right? Does it come with like a stereo cable? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can't.
I think the best thing is the actual comment that someone left on the review on the Premier Guitar website when I was reading about it earlier, saying that this is a useless idea, and what they should have done is played the strings through 1 to 6 through 2 amps, so you could get true stereo signal. So you'd get some really interesting splayed effects when playing a solo. And then they've said, when you write an instrument review, do you need an expert? And then someone's just gone, it's a press release.
Very good. Yeah, they So I understand what they're doing now. Basically, you can split the pickups. It's just you come out of the guitar in stereo with the stereo cable into the AB.
And then you can split that off into
either way. So I assume if you just plug a mono cable in, it just works like a normal guitar. Yeah. So. Yeah. Interesting. Nice to see a new brand come up on the radar. And yeah, I thought I'd pick that out. I mean, mainly because of that pickup behind the bridge.
Yeah, very interesting. Very cool sounding.
Indeed, indeed. Matt Knight, do you want to just finish off the news this week by telling us about the new Jam Lucy Dreamer?
Yeah, so Jam pedals, I think 10 years this year. I remember when I bought some of the first ones at GAC many moons ago, and they're great pedals, all built in Greece, all hand-painted, really, really nice. Range of different delays, overdrives. And this one is an overdrive boost, but with a ton of different features, which I think make it kind of really unique. So standard, I would say like three control overdrive, level, tone and gain. But then you've also got a boost. And then on top of that, you've also got a mix control. So you can mix the amount of clean signal with the amount of overdriven signal, which can then also be pre or post drive. But you can then also control the mix with an expression pedal.
Okay.
So you can actually blend in the amount of overdrive from the expression pedal, but you can also then control the boost with an expression pedal. And using the trim pot inside, you can actually set where you want the minimum volume to be. So you can actually use that as a really nice buffered volume pedal and then use the pedal itself as an overdrive, and then you can add in more boost as and when you want it, basically. So I thought it was a really cool way to kind of do something different with an overdrive and a boost.
Yeah, and Jam pedals kind of always have had kind of like little quirks about them, haven't they? They're like you say, that, you know, they're handmade, and they've got some interesting features, and this looks like another one in that line.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of other pedals I've seen recently that have been like volume pedals or boost pedals with an expression control. Moog did one. I think their overdrive had the frequency control, but then their boost also had the expression input, so you can use it as a really nice volume pedal, so it takes your sound much cleaner, much louder. But it also means that if you push the pedal all the way forward, you can set your amp up at its possible loudest and then just dial it back for your clean sound, then push it forward for the boost, so you've got that kind of always, you know, fully controllable volume control, you know, volume, rather than just using your guitar.
Definitely. Yeah, good to see Jam still rocking and bringing out some very, very unique stuff.
I love how still consistently lo-fi their finishes are on Jam pedals. They've never lost that.
No, it just looks hand-drawn, doesn't it? I'm very much into it. So, yeah, super, super cool. Before we close out, shall we do a few...
questions!
Very good, very good. Matty, thanks. Do you want to pick something from this list? It's going to be your last pod for at least a few weeks. Why don't you have a look through this list and see what you fancy?
Let's have a look. Actually, I read the very first question, and it might be pretty lame. I actually thought, did make me think about when I first started playing guitar, and that was Robin's question about string care.
Okay, so Robin says, string care, right? Does anyone bother with that fast fret or Jim Dunlop 65 snake oil or just a wipe down? So what were you thinking about it, Matty?
Well, because when we did Rabir's workshop on Saturday, before he started, he was using fast fret. And I was like, I remember buying a guitar and someone at the store going, well, you've got to buy fast fret. And I was like, yeah, sure. Just, you know, put it on every time you play. And I was like, this makes my guitar feel worse.
Yeah.
And I think because I've always never been like, I've never had like acidic sweat, I can go months without changing strings and they still like feel bright. And even when I change them, I'm like, oh, they're not that dirty. So I've never ever felt the need for doing it unless I've just kind of like wiped the strings down occasionally. But there is like so much stuff out there, but I could never really recommend it when I worked in a store, because I was like, I could never ever personally see the benefit of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that I've never done either, because I don't think I've got particularly acidic sweat. Like, even like touring and stuff like that, after a gig, I never bothered to wipe my strings down, which seems really bad, but I could always get away with doing, you know, 10 gigs on the same set of strings back to back, like, and it wouldn't ever bother me. Yeah, I mean, bass strings are a little different, I guess, but...
I when playing live on guitar, I would tend to just change. I do, either a gig and two practices or a practice and two gigs and then just change my strings, just because I was more likely to break than anything. I personally never really got on with it. I don't think it's snake oil. I think that people do get a lot of benefit out of it, and you've just got to find the right thing.
Yeah.
I also think that there are just better, maybe not better is not the right word, but if what you want to do is try and make your strings last longer, I think there are strings out there that do a great job of that. You know, yeah. The Daddario MYXLs. I've never personally gotten with the coated elixirs, but I know people swear by them.
Yeah.
I really like the Ernie Ball coated strings. I thought they were really nice. And the Cobalts as well were just a little bit stronger.
The Paradigms.
I just think that there are some... The tech has kind of gone in a slightly different way. So for me, it's never been anything I've been that bothered about.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think... Joe, do you want to share any insight? Do you anything?
I kind of share the thing. I do absolutely nothing. I've never have.
But what about the strings?
yeah. No, I've never used anything like that and never really struggled. Again, I get an extremely long time. Like, I probably change my bass strings every 6 or 7 months, maybe sort of longer.
When you find the kit... when you decide, I'll put this somewhere safe, and then you can't change your strings.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually think that the biggest thing is actually cleaning the fretboard when you do change the strings, because the fretboard is what like holds all the like horrible muck and grime and actually dulls your sound more.
Definitely.
Over time, because if you don't do it, then it's much harder to kind of get back to how it was. So I actually make sure I clean the fretboard and the frets every time. But strings, I've just never bothered with.
When I used to play in like a super fast punk band, I used to put teak oil on the back of the neck.
What's wrong with you?
So that I could slide around quicker, because punk. I was playing a 51, one of the Japanese 51 P bass at the time, and they had a lacquered neck, so it was really sticky.
Yeah, that's a bit of a weird thing.
It was pretty weird. It eventually ate into sort of the back of the neck.
I bet it did.
Really fudged the guitar.
Just a quick one, Matty, on the cleaning the neck. Did you ever, were you working in guitar shops at a time when you could get a product called Boogie Juice?
No.
It was basically lem oil, but in essentially like a marker pen format. So it had, you just like drew on the fretboard and it like... lem oil came out of the end of the pen basically, and you just like drew over the frets and then you wiped it off. Yeah, it was quite a cool product. I don't know what ever happened to that.
I mean, there's always the classic story of I can't remember where I heard it or whether it is just like one of those things that everyone has the same story, that someone ended up putting lem oil, someone's parents put lem oil on pancakes because they were like cooking around their house, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll put that on there. It's like, yeah, don't eat lem oil.
Just on that note, we're talking on the Patreon this week about weird things people have bought in, said or done in our times working in guitar shops.
I think this was also Robin, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe Robin also did suggest this. So yeah, we put that out to the Patreon, or to the Facebook group this week, what we were going to do on Patreon, and that's the topic. So yeah, do stick around for that. But Matt, do you want to pick one more question? We've got about 10 minutes, so maybe let's do one or two more questions. How about the one from Oystein about AC/DC sounds?
Why are we picking that one? I was reading through and I was like, I don't know why that question.
I just call it the name Oystein.
I was actually, the one I was reading before that was Paul about the 5150 through the TubeMaster.
Okay, let's do that.
And I kind of had an interesting thought on it, but okay. I'll let you read the question.
Okay, so Paul says, anyone know why my EVH 5150 overdrive sounds so artificial and fuzzy through my Hughes & Kettner TubeMaster 18? While through the warm, clean channel on my Blackstar Series 1, it sounds like a 5150 amp. What do you think, Matt?
When I had a Hughes & Kettner, I personally thought, and it might just be me, that they'd never ever seem to take pedals very well.
Yep. As someone who owns a TubeMaster, I kind of feel that.
Which is very surprising because of how crystal clean they are.
But they're not crystal clean in that way. And again, owning one...
They're brittle.
They are brittle, yeah.
Yeah, I think the input basically just like... Someone I work with kind of explained it in like an engineer's point of view once about how input gain loading into an amplifier, depending on its like gain structure, it effectively like collapses the signal and it becomes like mush. And that's why some amps like spiders don't take pedals very well, and that's why all the gain's built into the amps. So it's like the same thing I found with the Hughes and Kettner, is that if you put like a Big Muff into it, it just sounded terrible. But into some other amps that have got maybe a slightly better preamp, it sounded way better. And I always thought the Hughes and Kettner sounded better if you use the effects loop delay and use some delays and reverbs, and the drive on it was okay. But like you say, the amps themselves are like, they're almost beyond clean. They're so bright and so sharp.
Yeah.
They almost become brittle, especially if you're using like a Strat, which you might be using something Strat-esque if you're going for a 5150 overdrive, if you're going for a Van Halen thing. But yeah, I must admit, I just never thought they took pedals, drive pedals, as well as some other amps.
Yeah, I think in the next few months I'm going to try and move mine on. I want something small, but I can plug a couple of pedals into. I'm going to move it all into the living room and slim down the pedal board. I'm going through a guitar revolution, basically, and I'm in the same place as Paul, who sent the question in that I think it's time for the Hughes and Kettner to go. So maybe just keep putting it through the Blackstar, I guess.
Yeah, like if you want, everything sounds good through everything else.
Yeah, it's all about kind of matching these things up. Let's do... well, in fact, Matt, do you want to just choose another one?
Let's go with... someone's put, anyone relying on a Holy Grail for basic reverb work, what do you get the most out of it?
I believe that's Tad who submitted that question.
Tad or Thad?
Maybe Thad, but I think it's probably Tad.
Yeah, which I thought was a cool question, because actually I remember having a Holy Grail. In fact, I've had all three of that Electro Harmony series, and they were all very excellent.
What were the three?
The Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was the Holy Grail Plus and the
that
Holy
came later.
Grail. There was another one that wasn't
Neo?
The Plus. No.
There is a Neo, Holy yeah. Grail Neo. Yeah, so in your experience, Matt, what's the Holy Grail good for? Like the original one?
It's just excellent if you want super splashy vintage reverb, or maybe something a little bit weird with the flurb, but generally the spring sound on it still to this day is amazing. And someone who still lives by that pedal is part-time podcaster Dan Grace.
Oh, yeah, he loves a bit of Holy Grail.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's still got one on his...
No, he replaced it when he got a Flint.
Well, that's fair enough.
I think...
Maybe not a Flint, maybe a Capistan.
I honestly think that unless you can get up to Strymon level, and we've talked about how good we think the Flint is, don't go for anything more than a Holy Grail. The Holy Grails sound absolutely fantastic. Even the modern ones sound really, really good.
If you can get hold of the Hall of Fame, sort of trump them a little bit.
What, Hall of Fame?
I agree. I
like TC. I would never sort of.
I still haven't tried the new one with the mash control. It looks fantastic. I've watched a bunch of videos. I just haven't had a chance to get into a shop and try one. I really want to have a go on one of them. They look fantastic.
I just value for money at the moment. Go on, Matty.
Just the Holy Grail. It's just like, it's one of those pedals you're like, I need a spring sound and I know it's going to sound. And it just works. Good. Sounds great. You never have to turn it off.
How much is the Holy Grail at the moment?
Probably about 50 quid.
I guess so. It's probably not a lot of dosh.
But the TC ones are great, but when you've got loads of different... It's with any pedals that I've got, if you've got loads of different sounds, you always find one that you tend to stick to, and then you're like, I'm not using any of the other features on it.
Yeah.
And then you can't really get that with the Holy Grail because there isn't really any.
Yeah, you just put it on, it sounds really, really
which
good.
Which is why I went for the Hall of Fame Mini, because not only do you not have any other sounds on it, you only have one control.
Yeah. But then again, you're tempted to be like, maybe I'll just plug it in for the app and then I'll like select all the different sounds. With the Holy Grail, it's literally right. The sound on there that's really good is the spring. Yeah. Leave that on, job done.
Yeah, I think
it's quite funny how the Holy Grail, kind of got overshadowed when they released the Cathedral.
Yeah.
Because I don't
like the Cathedral.
I know you've never liked it, and I didn't really understand it.
You like it?
But I tell you why he didn't like it. He didn't like it because it got popular with loads of grungy indie kids who Mark didn't want to deal with in the shop. Right. That's the only reason that he doesn't like their pedal.
I was just wondering, could I try that Cathedral reverb?
I mean, in fairness, you could always tell when someone was going to ask you if they could try a Cathedral reverb. You could always tell. Always.
Jesus. Okay.
Because they were wearing... They probably had brown trousers on and long hair and were wearing one of their dad's shirts, but they were probably 17.
Yeah. Right.
And apologies to anyone who's got a cathedral. I really like the pedal, but that did describe the majority of the people who bought them.
Yeah, no,
or at least tried them.
It's all about the Holy Grail. And if you like Matt was, I think, about to say, if you can find one of the original ones in the big metal box, that is the best sounding one.
That is the best one. Yeah, 100%.
You just got to find the right power supply.
They are going for about 60 quid secondhand.
Oh, there we go.
Wow.
Yeah, you just got to find a slightly dodgy power supply because they're on a pin rather than a normal one. So there we go. We're up at about time, and we kind of almost veered into our Patreon topic there, where we're going to the ins and outs of the funniest stuff that has been said or bought into guitar shops in our time of working there. I've got a very, very good story about a Cobra guitar strap that I want to share, and I'm sure you boys have got similar anecdotes that you want to bring to the podcast.
I've got a great one, actually, about...
Don't share it now.
This geezer who came and applied for a job, and I looked at his CV, and he works at a kitchen fitters, and he wants to come and work at a guitar shop.
Yeah, unbelievable. We'll talk about that absolute knob at length, I'd imagine, Joe Branton. If you want to hear that, do go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, much like the one we're going to do this week. Plus, it also gets you access to some exclusive interviews, and also access to the series Joe Branton's Rant On, where Joe talks about the things he hates, plus all the stuff that's upcoming that we have talked about in this podcast. We promise there's more and more stuff coming on Patreon. Matt's tour diary, if you want to keep up with Matt's kind of toing and froing around Hamamatsu and Tokyo, patreon.com/guitar nerds is the place to find it. If you back us at the $10 and above level, you'll get your name read out like this. Your mouth was the most mad I've ever seen.
It was difficult to do.
McGravitt, Colin Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good radio.
No, it's very, very odd. If you've enjoyed the podcast, do follow us on Twitter @GuitarNerds, Instagram @GuitarNerds. Also, do go to the Facebook group where you can join in with all the fun every week, other Guitar Nerds listeners. Plus, you know, we occasionally do things like throw the Patreon topic out to Facebook. And we ask, you know, you take your questions and we do loads of fun stuff. Facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerds. Forum, and you can go to youtube.com/guitar nerds videos, although I found out the other day if you just go to youtube.com/guitar nerds, they've given us our own custom domain on there. You can go there and you'll find all the new stuff. Joe and Matt obviously doing the Guitar Nerd show, where they talk about different pedals once every other week. And we do a top 10 list, like I said, and there's, you know, we walked around the Boss exhibition, that's on there as well. Loads of fun stuff.
Joe's private lounge is coming soon.
That is that's the
pay-per-view
upcoming content that we didn't talk about. That's why Joe's so heavily invested in the leopard print St. Vincent, is because the rest of his lounge is in fact leopard print, and it's going to sit in the background somewhere. Just before we go, Matty, I think we're going to miss you, buddy. Three months of not seeing you consistently every week. I'm sure the listeners will feel the same as well, although if they're Patreon listeners, they'll probably hear from you at least once every couple of weeks, and regular listeners will hear you occasionally on the pod. But feels like, you know, we're saying bye for a bit.
Yeah, it's going to be strange, but I'm sure the WhatsApp group, the internal Guitar Nerds WhatsApp group, will be full of hilarious things that I will see and find to do in Japan.
Thank God that group is internal. It's wouldn't want the listeners
don't want to open
that
one up to the Patreon.
Or maybe we do. Maybe that's where the money is.
£150 a month, and you can sign up to the Guitar Nerds WhatsApp group.
Yeah, what would it cost us to get a lawyer for a month?
And then I guess, I'll speak to you. Well, I'm sure I'll speak to you guys a lot, but podcast maybe a couple times a month, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully find time.
That sounds really, really good. Thanks for listening this week. Like I said, the next few weeks is going to be a bit weird. I think next week in particular, because none of us are here, basically. So we're going to have to
cobble. You're here.
I'm always here. How many have I missed in 4 years? Four episodes?
Yeah.
I'm always there.
What about
there.
When you quit?
Oh, yeah, but then that doesn't count after that. That was rubbish. Forget
about
that.
To bring you back.
Yeah, exactly.
We pay you double.
Resurrect me from the dead. So, yeah, next week, who knows what's going to happen. But do keep listening, because I'm sure it will be... we'll find a fun way of getting around the fact that none of us are here to do a podcast. It'll be fine. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.